We will go ahead and get started here. Gonna see what I can do with the time, and I'm gonna do things a little bit different. And this has an opportunity to change your life, and I hope you take advantage of that. Bruce, if you could pass these out, and there's two sides, but you can do this side up. And so the title of this is Grace Amazing? And if it is, so what? So I'm just being a little irreverent here, but want you to think. I'm going to take some different approaches to things, but we're going to go through kind of systematically, and I'll try to go quickly to keep watching the time. And heads up, we're going to sing a song at the end. So yes, we are. So we'll start off with what is amazing. So when we think of the word amazing, I look in the dictionary and it says causing great surprise or wonder, causing amazement. And how many things in your life are truly amazing? I mean, what's that? Every day. Okay, good. And a lot of times things are amazing because it's something that we don't understand or something different than anything else. And so I got this rock here. Everybody's used to rock. Is this amazing? Okay, could be. Probably not. I mean, we see them all the time. Would it be amazing if I told you it came from the shores of Lake Superior? So
that would be amazing.
That would be amazing. It did. So I picked it up from Lake Superior. It was a summer that I saw every one of the Great Lakes, so big deal. But anyway, and this iPhone, wow, you know? But we're so used to it. I mean, we got all the technology, and it just becomes part of our life. And so, but the research and development and the engineering that went into this, if you, like 10 years ago, to think you could have something like this, would be just be amazing. And so a lot of things are amazing, and we take advantage of it. Just for entertaining purposes, I'm going to do something I've been working on, a skill. So I hope everybody can see this. I got a piece of string here. Just a regular piece of string. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to have somebody cut it, Bruce, this Bruce. So we're going to cut it and right there. Yep. Okay. So I've been working on this. So I got these two pieces of string here and this amazing iPhone with the microphone. And what I've been practicing is the how to chew these two pieces of string together with my lips. So you ready?
Oh boy.
Oh boy. Here we go.
No way.
No way. Was that amazing or what?
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
So there we go. Okay, we're done. So there are amazing things, but it's some of it is that, yeah, yeah, it's, so, anyway, so some things seem amazing, which we don't understand. That's just a simple, cheap trick, and I'm not going to ever tell you because no one really wants to know. They just want to know for, anyway, so, so amazing things are unusual, and so as we think about this and think about what we talked about amazing, as we talk about grace, think about whether it's amazing or not. So what is grace? So I'm going to use an example, and there's three things that I want to talk about in this part of it is grace, mercy, and justice. So grace is getting something you don't deserve. So it's getting something that you don't deserve, so it's actually getting something. Mercy is not getting something you deserve. So when you deserve something bad and you don't get it, then that's mercy. And justice is getting what you deserve. So I'm going to use an example here. Not many people know this, but I actually studied to be a probation officer and I passed the probation officer test. Didn't get hired, there wasn't jobs available, and I'm really blessed that's not, because I got that background and the education, but I get to do what I do now, and I'd rather do this than be a probation officer. So it's God worked it all out. But I got to look through the laws, the Indiana code, criminal code, and all of that. And so let's say you sell 3 grams of cocaine within 500 yards of a school where a person under 18 would be expected to be present. What kind of sentence would you expect from that?
10 years mandatory federal.
Okay.
No, that's not
federal.
Yeah.
It'd be a Class A felony.
So, but the Class A's, they don't do Class A. If you got to keep up with, I'm kidding. It's tough to keep up with it.
It's like level two or level one.
Good job.
It's like
Yep, so it's actually a level 3. And it's a level 3 because of the enhancing, it's called the enhancing circumstances. Because it was within 500 feet of a school, then that bumps it up to a level 3, and it has to do with the grams of what you were selling and the enhancing circumstances. So Indiana law, and that's the minimum sentence, is 3 years. So Indiana law says if you do this, then you're going to get the minimum of this, and they don't have much flexibility. So let's say you go into the courtroom, and you've done this, and you stand before the judge, and the judge says, I sent you to 3 years in prison. What would that be, mercy, grace, or justice?
Because they wouldn't give you 3 years.
Yep, that could be. So it could either be mercy or justice, but it's justice as far as at least getting the minimum.
Yeah.
Okay? So what if the judge says, I know you didn't mean it, and you've been remorseful, so I won't send you. Don't do it again.
Mercy.
Yep, that would be mercy. Good. All right. Now, what would happen if someone came forward and said, I'll serve their 3-year sentence?
That's grace.
That's grace. Good. Very good. So to look at that. Now, what would happen if you got sentenced to 3 years for this crime and the next person came along and the judge said, I know you didn't mean it and you've been remorseful, so I won't sentence you. Don't do it again. How would you feel after you just got 3 years sentenced for that same thing? That's right. Yep.
It depends on the circumstances.
Okay.
Everybody's different.
They are.
Everybody's cases. Bruce might sell 3 grams, and I might sell 3 grams, but he might have done it before.
Yep, yep.
So it depends on everybody's different.
Yep.
Everybody's case is different,
yep.
I feel.
Yep, and you're right. But generally, we would be upset.
Yes.
And so let's just remember and put things in perspective. We want mercy and grace for ourselves, but we want justice for everyone else. And so that's just how we operate. And so just keep that in mind as we go through this. So what is grace from a biblical view? The definitions, one is grace is favor shown by God to sinners. So grace is favor shown by God to sinners. Or grace is an unmerited, which means we don't earn it, and an unconditional, which means we don't have to do anything for it, gift of God's love that we can never earn or deserve. So I'll read that one more time. Grace is an unmerited and unconditional gift of God's love that we can never earn or deserve. So when we look at that first definition, it's important to understand something about God, because it says grace is favor shown by God to sinners, and it's also to answer the question, am I a sinner? And that's an important thing. So an example is, what if I offered to pay a $5,000 fine on your behalf, but you didn't know and still don't believe you owe a $5,000 fine? Would you be grateful to me? No. I mean, who cares?
I would.
Okay. Yep. So we can talk about that later, Bruce. No, I'm just kidding. But my point here is what if God gives you grace and forgiveness that you don't think you need? And so, if God gives you grace, do you think you need that? That wouldn't be amazing or even good, would it? So I'm just trying to put things in perspective here. Martin Luther said a man must completely despair of himself in order to become fit to obtain the grace of Christ. I'll read that again. A man must completely despair of himself in order to become fit to obtain the grace of Christ. And so you have to realize you're a sinner. You have to realize you need grace to appreciate grace. And so that's an important thing to ask yourself. Do you believe you're a sinner? Do you believe you deserve punishment? Do you need a Savior? And do you need grace?
Yep.
And so, good. And so, but sometimes that's hard for us to remember and to think about. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. John Newton wrote a song called Amazing Grace. Anybody know what John Newton did for a living before?
Slavery.
Good. Yep. So when he said, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And he was a wretch. He was a slave trader. How horrible to every day to see people die and to just be dealing in human people made in the image of God like that. And yet God saved him. But just as the Indiana laws say that because of what you did, you deserve a minimum 3-year sentence in prison, what does the Bible say about our sins and our sinfulness? And so if we go to Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And so we all sin. We know that. But Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So the wages of sin is death. So what we earn, just like when you go to work, your wages, because of our sin, we deserve death. And that's hard to reconcile. But it's true. That's the standard that God gives. We all sin. We lie. We have stolen. We have dishonored our parents. We have taken God's name in vain. We have been immoral with our mind and our body. We don't kill people all the time, but we do some good things every once in a while so we can tell ourselves we are good. But we must go by God's standard and not our own standard, just like we can't go by our own law, but we must go by Indiana laws. So God has set up a law that can't be violated and that must be taken care of. And as with any just judge, God can't set up rules and ignore them. You would say he's not a just judge, and we know that God is a just God. So someone must pay the penalty for our sins. For grace to mean anything, we have to realize that we are a sinner and deserve punishment or justice. Someone must pay the penalty. And so that's where the gospel comes in. That's where grace comes in. Romans 4:25 says, "He was delivered over to death," and they're talking about Jesus, "for our sins, and was raised to life for our justification." So justification means that we're declared to be righteous because of what Jesus did. Some people use this wording of saying justification is just as if I had never sinned. And that's good. It's not quite complete because it's more than that. Because if we'd never sinned, then we would just be kind of morally neutral. But we actually have the righteousness of Christ because he died in our place. And so it's more than just being morally neutral. We have his record, his merit, instead of our own. And I like his record better. We owed and he paid, and we are righteous because we don't owe any longer. God sees us with the righteousness of Jesus instead of our own sin. Grace is nothing, says that nothing that we could ever do or did can deserve this or can earn this as far as what he did. So it's important to realize that we're sinners, and yet Jesus died for us and took our place. And he paid the penalty that we owe, just like someone standing up and when we're being sentenced, someone else standing up and saying, "I'll take your sentence." And so John 3:16, which we're all familiar with, and I'll read 17 also, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And so, as we know, we can be saved through this, through what Jesus did. Romans 5:1 and 2 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith," and it is faith, it's a believing, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And it's peace as opposed to the conflict that we've had before. We've been enemies of God because we want to run our own life, and God wants to run our own life. And there's a conflict there. And the next part goes, "Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." It changes our life, this grace, as far as believing in what Christ did and receiving the grace that he's given us. God's grace is that while we were enemies of God, he sent his Son to die in our place, which we deserved instead of him. He was sinless. It wasn't fair for him. It was love. We didn't do anything to deserve what he did for us, and that is grace. And so if you don't believe that you're a sinner, this grace will mean nothing to you. And so it won't be amazing grace. We all need to come to grips with our sinfulness and be grateful for what God did for us. Another part of this is knowing what God is like. And in Psalm 103:8, it says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." And we know how far the east is from the west. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. And so just God loves us so much. And for what he does, what he did, and he gave us some parables to tell us about his love. And I'm just going to cover three of them just from a general standpoint. And one man made the comment, he said, obviously Jesus did not give the parables to teach us how to live, these parables. He gave them, I believe, to correct our notions about who God is and how he loves. And so one of the parables is the prodigal son, which you've heard of. And just to quickly summarize the story, this man's son said, he basically said, I wish you were dead. He said, I want my inheritance now. He's basically saying to his father, I don't care about your values. I don't care what you care about. I just want your money that you're going to give me when you die, and I want it now. And so the father did that, and then the son went off and wasted his money on all kinds of bad things, and ended up working, feeding pigs. And as a Jewish man, feeding pigs, and just that was a horrible place to be. And he wanted to eat what he was feeding the pigs, but couldn't. And he kindly came to the realization and said, hey, my dad's servants are living better than I am. And so he came home. And as he was coming home, before he got home, before he could say anything to his father saw him in the distance, found out who he is, and ran to him. And maybe some of you know this, but Jewish men do not run. That's very, very undignified. But because he loved his son so much, he didn't wait and walk to his son or wait to his son to get there for his son to say, well, okay, if my son says these right words and is really repentant, I will accept him. But what he did is he put a party together, and he went and saw his son and ran to him and hugged him. And that's what God does for us. Because he loves us so much, we fail him so often, and we say the same thing to him that this son did, because we say, hey, I got this, I know better, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it, and we crash and burn. And yet, when we come back and repent, he runs to us, even before, and he loves us so much, and that's what this parable shows us. There's two more parables in Luke right after that. One of them is 100 sheep and the lost coin. 100 sheep is where they have 100 sheep, and one of them gets lost, and the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes and finds the one. And that's what God does for us. He chases us. He finds us. He brings people into our lives to help us to come back to him. And then they rejoice, and both with the same when they had 10 coins and they lost one of them. They cleaned their house, went everywhere and looked for it. And that's what God does, because he loves us so much. And then he rejoices so much when he finds the lost coin, or when the son comes home, or when the sheep comes home. And that's what he does. And so sometimes, you know, we think we've done bad, and I can never earn God's love anymore. Well, we never earned it to start with. And he has this amazing, amazing, amazing love for us. And that's what we see here. Keep going here. But we resist it, and it's amazing that we resist it, and I don't know why. I read a story about a girl who was in Korea. She was a daughter of somebody. She was daughter of an American soldier. The American soldier went home. She was there as looking half American, rejected. Her mom wanted to get married again. Was going to marry this man, but he didn't want the daughter, so they put her on a train and told her to get off at this stop, and her uncle would be there to visit her, to pick her up. Her uncle was never there. So they got rid of her. She lived on the streets. She ended up in an orphanage after being abused and everything, helping other babies that had been abandoned. And somebody came to adopt the baby, and they saw her and took an interest in her, rubbed her hair, just showed affection to her, and she looked at him and she spit in their face. And I know that's weird, and you know, to even tell that story, but that's what we do when people reach out to us. And that's just for whatever reason, when somebody's trying to draw us back, God tries to draw us back, we rebel. And so it's just good to think about that. There's some other examples as far as Jesus giving a dinner, a banquet. And people made all these excuses for not coming. God wants to give us a banquet. God wants to put us in a banquet. And to be crude, we eat dirt instead. And so people gave excuses. And so God offers this great grace for us, this amazing love, and we reject it. And so it's just good to know that that battle goes on and to participate in it. To kind of move on ahead, to kind of summarize this, God dispenses gifts, not wages. None of us gets paid according to merit, for none of us comes close to satisfying God's requirements for a perfect life. If paid on the basis of fairness, we would all end up in hell. And so because we're sinners, because of how things are set up, but God loves each one of us so much that he sent his son to die a horrible, horrible death on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins that we owed. He forgave the people who did this to him, which was amazing. He loves us, he loves you, and wants the best life for you. There is nothing you could have done that keeps him from loving you and that he can't forgive you for. We did not and do not deserve any of what's been done, and we've done nothing to earn it. It's free, unmerited, when Jesus died on the cross and continues to show us grace every day. So this grace is truly amazing. And a lot of times we don't think about it and don't realize how much God loves us. Sometimes we have this view of God that he's just kind of keeping rules for us, and when we break him, he gets mad at us, because we haven't studied, we don't think about this, and a lot of times our parents were like that, or our dad was like that, or some other example. But God is not like that. He loves you so much. In Micah, at the end of Micah, it says he delights to show mercy, and he casts our sins into the depths of the sea and tramples them. And so this grace is amazing as far as us being sinners and what God did to have a relationship with us, as far as sending his son to die for us. And it's just good for us to remember that. Wrapping up here, you've got there, what should I do? I'm going to run through these real quick. Recognize you're a sinner, that you need a Savior. May not be an easy task. Ask God to help you understand that you're a sinner. Also understand that you are so valuable that Jesus came and died on the cross in your place. Realize there's nothing you have done that cannot be forgiven. Number two, recognize how much God loves you and how special you are to the Creator of the universe. He knew you before you were born. He knows the number of hairs on your head and keeps track of them as they fall out. And if he cares about that, how much more does he care about the other real important things in your life? He knows your thoughts. Even though your life is hard and things may happen that you don't understand, and you may truly suffer. He loves you and uses everything for his good. Recognize that what Jesus and God did for you. He died on the cross to pay for your sins. God is a just God, and justice has to be done. Jesus became being sinless in an unfair way to him, but in a gracious way for you, took the punishment so you could be righteous before God, justified. This realization should make you very humble and grateful. Because of who you are and what Jesus has done, you should repent, which means to turn from your trying to run your life and surrender your life and will to follow Jesus. Believe and accept this free gift, which you don't deserve and have done nothing to earn. Even if a gift is offered, you must accept it to benefit from it. Here we go, Tim. They could ask you to pick from the fishbowl in court, but you won't get any of the prizes if you don't accept their gift. Pray and tell God that you have repented and believe, and that you will follow him. He will come, and his Spirit will live in you and guide you. You will still struggle through life, but he will help you. This will establish a new relationship with him, where your eternal life with him will start at this point. Please consider this decision today, as it will affect where you spend eternity and how you live the rest of your life. A couple more. Once you make the decision, your life will never be the same. Your life is one dedicated to loving God with everything you have and to loving others. Doing everything to glorify God and not focusing on what you want is the best way to live. We were made to serve. If you have questions or want further discussion, see any of the mentors here tonight. So I'm running out of time. I'm going to go a little bit over. I'm going to play this one song. If you flip your page over, we were going to sing it. You can sing it if you know it, but we'll just go through it once, and then you can listen to it. You can find it on the radio. So.